Thinking Sideways is not brought to you by a chipmunk with a grudge. Instead, it's brought to us by your amazing talents, because we're looking for a new intro for the podcast, and we have a contest going. The contest is going until the 31st of July, 2017, so go to our website, go to the contest page, and check out the rules and all the information, and get it into us soon, so get cracking.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't get it.
I brought the aliens.
You must unlearn what you have learned.
I don't know.
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways, the podcast. I am Devin, joined this week by
Joe
and
Steve.
We're recording like a week after CrimeCon right now.
CrimeCon! Woohoo!
It was fun. It was really fun not to like rub in the noses of the people who weren't able to come, but it was really fun.
Yeah.
CrimeCon! Woo!
We missed you guys, by the way. We're thinking about you.
We were. Every single one of you. So I apologize for the little raspy nature of my voice. It's been a long couple weeks. This week.
We sound like we're on day two of CrimeCon.
Yeah, kind of. We do. Yeah. Where everyone was just hungover and sad about being there.
I wasn't.
So today we are going to talk about a case called Princess Doe. And this
you
was
mean
suggested.
Princess Di?
No, Princess Doe.
Oh.
And this was the listener suggestion in July of 2014.
We've had it a little while. We've
it was 3 years.
Hunter
hey,
suggested
Hunter,
this, so thank you. It's not by any means a Mr. Cruel small ears warning, but we're going to talk about murder and stuff like that. So
yeah, I know.
Small ears warning.
It's a medium-sized ear warning.
You know, kids today, they're raised in a diet of murder and mayhem. This is nothing to them.
It's true. So Princess Doe is a 15 to 20-year-old Jane Doe discovered on the grounds of a graveyard in Blairstown, New Jersey on July 15th, 1982.
While back.
Princess Doe, I think we'll probably just call her Princess from now on. But
easier.
Maybe Princess Doe,
a little simpler.
Was found by a grave digger who was employed by the graveyard. Her face was, quote-unquote, bludgeoned beyond recognition, is the nicest way that I've seen that put.
Yeah, you know, I mean, my understanding is they couldn't identify the color of her eyes.
Yes.
That's pretty, accurate. Must have been one heck of a bludgeoning.
Pretty, yeah.
Well, see, I always wondered if that was because of the time that she spent there, and so there was a little bit of decomp, or if it was critters.
The investigators seemed to believe it was due to the beating, not decomp or critters.
Okay. Because so the orbs were exploded.
Yeah, because the rest of the body parts.
Yeah, I knew her face was.
Yeah, but, you know, like the tongue and things like that would also be susceptible to critters were in fine condition.
Okay.
So.
Good point.
Yeah. Welcome to the small ears.
Still listening,
right
kids?
In. Yeah. Her body was found laying on its back with a red t-shirt on her body.
Kind of a V-neck.
Kind of like a peasant-y blouse almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was very 70s.
Yeah. And there was a long red kind of peasanty skirt, like a long flowy skirt that was laid over her legs or draped over her legs. She was wearing no underwear. She was wearing a gold cross necklace and earrings in her left ear only.
Pictures of which are available.
They are. Her right hand had painted nails, which was in a matching red to the clothes that she was found in / under.
How often do women paint just one side and not the other?
It really depends on who it is.
It really depends. You know, sometimes it's not so much that you've just painted the one hand. Oftentimes, like, nervous tics are to pull. Like, when I get really nervous, sometimes I'll pick at my nail polish. Mm. And you just kind of, oftentimes people just pick at the one hand. You're sitting me, watching me do this right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Miming that. And so it's possible that she just picked all of it off of one hand and not the other.
Especially
if she was right-handed.
Well, there's also the fact that some people just can't take it when their nails get scraped up. And if you scrape, my wife is this way. She scrapes one nail and it's screwed up. She will then go ahead and just get out the nail polish remover and take it off. And either repaint the nail or just take the polish off entirely. Now, this girl might have been that, well, the one hand's fine, but the other looks goofy. So, I mean, it's there's a whole smattering of ways.
There's also a lot of conjecture online that says that this means that she must have been interrupted while painting her nails. But I don't think so, because her nail polish wasn't like smeared everywhere.
Exactly.
It was dry on the one hand. So it's unclear why that was. It is a bit of an identifying mark. But
it's possible she was interrupted in mid painting, but not by violence right away. So the perpetrator, like, you know, knocks on her door and says, "Hey, want to go to the graveyard, hang out?" And then so she, you know, says okay and leaves with him, blowing on her nails a little bit. But
true.
You know, it could have been something like that. I guess.
True.
I don't know.
Favorite moment of the podcast so far? Watching Joe do the
blowing
of the nails motion.
Yeah, the shaking of the hand.
Yeah.
This isn't alcoholism. This is me trying to dry my nails.
Just trying to dry my nails. It's fine. So she was estimated to be about 5'2", 5 feet 2 inches tall.
Although I've seen that as a range from 5'2" to 5'4".
Yeah, but not.
I'm not sure why.
I'm not totally sure why.
Maybe you shrink if you're left out in the sun.
I don't think you do. I'm going with 5'2".
All right.
Also, because she was only 115 pounds, so I mean, you know, it's
be
pretty
a skinny 5'4".
Yeah, it's a skinny 5'2". That's, you know.
But she's relatively young.
She is. That's true.
Well, at least potentially.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, even 20 years old is pretty young.
I was more leaning towards the 15 would make sense why she's 5'2 and only 115.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She had blonde hair, although previously mentioned, we don't know about her eye color. Ugh. The coroner said that she was likely 14 to 18 years old, but a lot of other places I've read that the age range was 15 to 19. So I guess the safest range would be 16 to 17. Shoot for the middle. She had all of her original parts.
Original carburetor, rims, all that.
No, she hadn't had any surgeries or anything like that.
Tonsils, adenoids, appendix, all that stuff.
Got it.
All of it, yeah.
Both kidneys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She had never given birth, and she had no scars or marks that they could see. It's possible, I guess, that there's a range in her face where she was beat so bad that they wouldn't have been able to see scars, but...
Mm.
It wouldn't be discernible, yeah.
Yeah.
Based on post-damage, yeah.
Yeah. The most distinct part of her actually was that her front two teeth were a slightly different color from the rest of her teeth. That was the only thing that they could provide to say, hey, if you know a blonde girl who has slightly different colored teeth that's missing, we might have found her.
Believe it or not, is not all that uncommon, though.
Yeah.
Oh, the different teeth colors?
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah,
mine are a little different.
Well, I mean, I know folks who have fallen down and hit their head and damaged the nerves? Yes, the nerves in their teeth. And so the tooth is slowly dying. And that a lot of times is what causes that discoloration is as the tooth dies, you know, you've seen people with black teeth because the tooth is dead.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, cosmetic oral surgery was not a thing.
Yeah.
So it was actually pretty common.
Well, I mean, it's not so uncommon that you would just have less white teeth in certain areas of your mouth.
Oh, yeah, there's always a range.
Kind of depends, too, on how big the contrast really was.
Yeah, and I don't know the answers to that question.
Well, it's been 35 years, and nobody's stepped forward yet, huh?
They have not, yeah. So Princess had fought back against her attacker. There were visible signs of defense on her hands, but she was very badly beaten.
DNA under her fingernails, maybe?
I don't think so.
This is 82?
82.
DNA really wasn't...
Well, they did preserve a lot of her body parts, though, so that they could test DNA in the future. But
they
don't think that there was anything under her fingernails or anything like that.
Oh, so she didn't scratch the guy or anything.
Mm-mm.
I guess I'm being sexist here. It could have been a woman.
Person.
Yeah.
So, and we kind of hinted at this before, but her body was out there for a couple days at least.
Mm.
Maybe more... like a week. I did see one place that said she had definitely been out there for a month, but I don't think that's
true.
Well,
it was a warm time of year.
It was a really, really warm, very, very humid time of year.
Yeah, July, mid-July, New Jersey.
Yeah, so there was some decomposition happening to her, for sure. But they did think that it was probably just a couple days that her body was out there. I would suspect that the graveyard was also able to help a little bit in that, you know, if they had groundskeepers... they would have hit that kind of area in a whatever given amount of time.
I got to be honest with you. I'm surprised that they found her as soon as they did, because if you watch the footage that is out there of, you know, the guys trying to climb up that embankment and get out of there, it is super steep. I mean, we're talking like a 75-degree angle. I mean, something, a body rolls down and any kind of material from the area is stuck to it. It would be very easy to not see, because who walks along the perimeter of that ravine looking down the whole time?
Well, a grave digger who needs to urinate, maybe?
That might be how she was found.
Yeah, it probably was.
But I don't think she did roll down the embankment, because the skirt was laying on top of her.
Yeah, well,
like
somebody,
it had been laid there.
Yeah. But if the body was dumped, let's say 10 or 15 feet down, because, I mean, they if you watch the footage of those guys crawling out of there with the body bag, I mean, she was far enough down that they had to crawl, you know, three hands, one hand holding the strap and 2 feet in a hand pulling themselves up. I mean, it's, you know.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, she could have been dropped right on the edge and just slid down like it was a, you know, earthen water slide.
That's true. Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
But anyway, I doubt that she had been there a month.
No, that's excessive.
I think a couple
critters
days.
Would have gotten to her more. Yeah,
absolutely. She and her body would have decomposed.
Yeah, I doubt she
way
was
more.
Even there for a week. Yeah. Really.
The detective assigned to the case was actually the one to name her Princess Doe. I haven't seen anywhere why he called her that.
My understanding is that he picked that name because he wanted to give her something other than Jane Doe.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he for some reason felt really bad about this young girl being dead.
Yeah, and I seem to remember him in an interview I watched saying, well, she had to have been somebody's princess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody's little girl at one point who was a princess, and so somehow that stuck in his head.
Okay. That's
like, this guy really...
I saw that stuff too, but I guess I just didn't even... I didn't think about it.
No, and I'm amazed. This guy, like, really, really just is hung on to this case.
Yeah.
It's amazing the lengths that he's gone.
His name is Lieutenant Eric Krantz.
Mm-hmm.
He's now retired. This case really touched the small community in New Jersey. They gave her a proper burial. And a local who was just four at the time, his name is Travis Riggs. He even started a website called princessdoe.org. I think the website is now defunct, because I did try to reach out to Travis via the website and got one of those, you know, Mailer Damon.
Yeah, it looks like he hasn't been doing anything for the last 3 or 4 years, because I went
totally
to his Twitter account and it's dead as well.
Not like there's any movement here.
There's no movement.
Probably never will be.
But I just thought it was incredible that somebody who was four at the time was so struck by this case that he would devote any amount of time, you know, spending.
I got the feeling that this is probably one of those things. It's kind of like the, I can't remember the case we were talking about the other day, where it's just everybody in town is always speculating about it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It just becomes a...
Our Indiana case.
Yeah,
Roberts. Clarence Roberts.
Yeah. I think that's probably true. Since this was in the 80s, as we also kind of mentioned before, DNA testing particularly, but just testing in general was not where it is today, and probably will not be where you future people are listening to us in, you know, 2030.
You're laughing at us for our crude techniques.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, watching us on holophoners or whatever.
Laughing as we talked into microphones.
Yeah.
Nobody uses those.
But luckily, the investigators did have the foresight to preserve samples of
and not lose them, and
preserve them in a way that they were actually preserved and they didn't degrade.
They were totally usable.
Yeah, good job,
this is
guys.
The makings of a Forensic Files episode. Yeah. I swear to God, if it had been solved, it would definitely have been featured on there. Forensic scientists in 2012 were able to assess samples of both her hair and her teeth. And it allowed investigators to get a better picture of where Princess was from.
Somewhere North or South America.
Yeah, somewhere where blonde people are from.
Yeah.
The sample of her hair was, it was pretty easy to analyze. And I have to be honest, I pulled this like pretty much verbatim off of the internet, because these people are smarter than me and I can't rewrite this. So the hair indicated that she had lived at least 7 to 10 months in a Midwestern or Northeastern state of the United States.
Somewhat recently, I presume, since they got it from her hair.
It would
Within the last 8 months, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. I mean, probably because, you know, hair grows long, but it falls out pretty frequently. So, and her, the sample of her tooth indicated that she might be from Arizona, but it also was believed that she had spent a long period of time in Long Island, New York.
And they figured all that out because of the trace minerals and things mm-hmm. like that were in it based on what you would find in the water. Water in Arizona is much different than water in New Jersey
uh-huh.
when you take it at, you know, a base mineral count.
Totally. Uh-huh. And the makeup of it is different.
Right. And because your body absorbs that, it's then, you know, you can test for that.
Right, exactly.
Cool.
This is the simplest version of how that worked.
Yeah. So this was obviously really big news, and to the point where they even set up a mannequin with Princess Doe's clothes on it.
That was a little weird.
It was pretty weird. Mm. And the facial reconstructions of her are like...
They're all over
all
the map.
Really subpar.
Yeah.
And kind of weird. I mean, they're not... I mean, we've seen some very interesting reconstructions in our lives, but they're passable, but they're all kind of... They don't look like real humans, really, at all.
It makes you wonder if they were having trouble really piecing together the fragments of her skull.
Yeah.
Well, and not all of it was done right away. Krantz kept trying to keep the case alive, and so he would try and generate more interest in it, and so he would get the department to pay for a guy to come in and do a reconstructed drawing of her. But you know, that's
well, and they've been updated ones and. You know, based on new technology and all that uh-huh. stuff. The reconstructions they would have been tough. I mean, she was very badly beaten. But they did, you know, they were trying to keep the case alive. So they did this thing where they put her clothes on a mannequin. And actually that did generate some leads. A woman who saw the images of the mannequin set up with this girl's clothes in a newspaper article said that she remembered seeing the girl wearing, or a girl, wearing the same clothing as Princess Doe on July 13th, 1982.
Now, this would have
been 2 days before.
But that was 2 days before she was discovered, but...
She came forward months later.
I thought it was years later. Was it months?
It was years later.
Yeah, and it was just, I find that hard to believe, kind of.
Well, I mean...
Not only did she remember that far back, the exact outfit, but also the exact date. That's kind of, you know...
Yeah, I don't know. I agree, but also it is interesting.
Yeah, well, maybe she's got a photographic memory. I don't know.
Maybe. The woman said, I mean, so the reason that she said that she remembered seeing this girl, I presume, you know, when I was little, I would go shopping with my mom as a special thing. You know, it wasn't we go shopping for clothes all the time. And so it's possible that
you're not
a
Kardashian.
No. So it's possible that this was a special occasion, which is why the date stuck, and that mm-hmm. that outfit is a pretty unique outfit. And if she was like, oh, I saw someone wearing something that looked a lot like that on this special day that we had. Mm-hmm. And we talked about how weird this woman was, or this girl was dressed, and what was she doing?
I didn't think her clothes were all that weird, actually.
Well, that's
it could
true,
be
but...
just a conversation. What she's saying, yeah. Joe, is it could be they had a conversation about the outfit, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, yeah.
I have conversations about outfits all the time because I'm judgy as heck.
yeah, wait till you walk out of the room, Joe. Yeah. She says some horrible things about your clothes.
Oh, yeah. Sure. We really should go to the mall sometime.
Yeah,
I don't go to malls.
I want to do some people watching with you.
I don't go to the mall.
So actually, they were able also to trace the shirt and the skirt to a manufacturer in the Midwestern United States of America, but the brand labels were missing, which...
She was a spy.
Well, yeah. I was just going to say, which isn't all that suspicious because I sometimes cut labels out of my clothing because
they're scratchy.
So scratchy, especially when you buy cheap clothes. They're super scratchy. And I suspect that if this girl has never been identified, she probably wasn't from a family of means that was providing for her. So she was probably buying cheap clothes.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Three or four people actually reported that they had purchased similar clothing at a Long Island store, which is now closed, obviously. But it's not clear if that was a chain store or if it was just a one-off boutique or something like that. So,
you know, this is something I didn't see, and I'm just going to ask you because I'm dumb like that. The clothes, were they considered to actually be relatively new when her body was discovered? They weren't something that, say, could be a 5-year-old dress and shirt like that were lightly worn or something. Yeah.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I suspect they were considered to be relatively new given the number of people who were able to say that they purchased clothes similar mm-hmm. to that within a fairly, you know, short time period.
Okay. I know fashion is very fickle and things come and go quite quickly. And so that's the only reason I ask.
That's what makes me think that it probably was fairly recent.
Okay. I've seen pictures online of the clothes too. Were they the same clothes that she was wearing?
The red shirt.
Those were.
They don't look too frayed.
No, I think they were. And you know, there's little things like there's a tiny, like along the collar and the hem.
Piping, you mean?
There's a little bit of, well, it's not, you could call it piping.
She's about to geek out.
I'm enough of a clothes nerd to tell you it's not actually piping, but okay. There's some very thin velveteen ribbon that they use as trim along the neck and the waist and or the hem, sorry, of the shirt. And you know, that's the sort of stuff that goes kind of south pretty quick. It shows wear quickly. And they looked like they were in fine condition, not mm-hmm. great, but you know, fine condition. So I suspect they were fairly new.
Cool.
So we're almost to theories. But before we start talking about theories, we do need to talk about MTV's fear.
I have a lot of fear of MTV.
Yeah.
You know, so I never saw it.
This is from Wikipedia. So I'm admitting that I did almost no research on fear.
You didn't, you're not missing anything. I watched this show.
Yeah.
No. You watched it?
Oh, like once or twice, and it was so dumb.
Yeah. That's where they leave people like alone in a haunted house or something like that, or a group of people.
Fear, promoted as MTV's Fear, is an American paranormal... I'm literally reading Wikipedia right now, guys. I'm admitting it. Is an American paranormal reality television series that originally aired from 2002 to 2000, or from 2000 to 2002 on MTV. The program follows a group of 5 or more contestants being left at an allegedly haunted location and led them on a series of dares over 2 nights to explore and confirm whether or not the place was haunted.
Mm. This was a cheap knockoff of Survivor is what this was. This is when reality TV suddenly started becoming bigger than it had ever been. I mean, because it was like Survivor, it was kind of small. And then also it was like, everybody's doing it. And they all made the crappiest shows.
So did anybody get killed at least?
No.
Damn it.
No.
There were a lot of, you know, mannequins were thrown at people, but that's about it.
Yeah. So
probably
just
stick your hand in a bucket of spiders, maybe.
There was an episode in the first season that featured a totally 100% fictionalized version of Princess Doe's story, which has added to a lot of confusion around the case. In MTV's Fear, Princess was portrayed as a victim of a cult sacrifice.
Wasn't her head supposedly cut off?
She was decapitated and yeah, totally. Yeah. There is literally no reason, literally no reason to think that this is true in Princess's case. She was not decapitated. She had her hands.
And not,
she was not, not a cult sacrifice.
Well, it could have been a cult sacrifice. Not likely.
No.
No evidence to indicate
it. Yeah. So stop it. Just stop.
No.
Stop.
No.
Stop.
Okay, I'm fine.
So with all of that having been said, we're going to get into theories.
Ooh.
But first, we're going to take a quick break.
Can you imagine working under backbreaking conditions day after day after day and having to eat the same thing night after night after night? Hardtack and thin soups would be your culinary reward for hauling sail in the blazing sun and the pounding rain. And only occasionally, while at anchor, would you and Queequeg be able to find a place like the Tiny Pots that served a meal to die for. The great thing is, you don't have to travel to eat like that. You can do it from the comfort of your own home with HelloFresh. HelloFresh is the meal delivery service that makes cooking more fun for you so you can stay focused on the whole experience, not just the plate. And each week, HelloFresh creates new delicious recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take about 30 minutes for anyone from novices to seasoned home cooks short on time. HelloFresh is now offering light summer meals and just introduced breakfast options. We've had HelloFresh, they sent it to us, and I loved it. good food all around. If you'd like to try HelloFresh, they've extended to our listeners a special offer. If you go to their website and use the promo code SIDEWAYS30, that's SIDEWAYS30, and you'll get $30 off your first week of deliveries. So go to HelloFresh.com and enter SIDEWAYS30 when you subscribe. And remember, HelloFresh has delicious ingredients you'll love to eat and simple recipes you'll love to cook.
And we're back. So theories, yeah. In true Devin fashion, we have two big headings.
And then subheadings.
And then subheadings.
Whoa.
Two big, we need to talk about who Princess Doe might have been. And we also need to talk about who might have done this to Princess Doe.
Good questions, all. Yes.
So let's talk about who Princess Doe might have been first.
Okay. All right.
There are a couple interesting theories out there, I guess. There's really only two names that have ever kind of stuck.
And then a lot of sort of random big speculation
on
top
but
of that.
The biggest one is Diane Janice Dye. For many years, actually, Princess Doe was thought to have been Diane. She was a missing teenager from San Jose, California.
And she never did turn up, did she?
She never did. No, yeah. She disappeared on July 30th in 79. This theory was kind of propagated by several law enforcement.
I believe the word you're looking for is pushed.
Pushed.
Yeah, where did they get the idea from, though?
I don't really know.
You know, this. I guess it's because it's such an old case. There's a bunch of different ideas that, have, that
yeah.
people have put forward, but it's time or whatever. The reasons they think these things have sort of gone away. You can't find them.
I think, you know, the other thing is people, if you find something that kind of fits, you can close two cases. And
sure.
sometimes it's just better to, you know, willfully be ignorant about the whole situation.
Well, and in a way, for the family, it's a method to, though incorrect, give the family closure.
Yeah, and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that really does anybody any favors. But I don't know. But there were actually some law enforcement officials in New Jersey who actually even had a press conference that they officially identified Princess Doe, yeah, as Diane Dye. Lieutenant Krantz, you remember.
Lieutenant Eric Krantz.
Yeah. He maintained that Diane Dye was not a good candidate for Princess Doe as an identity.
Why is that?
He just didn't think they fit, which is fair.
Yeah.
They didn't really look too much alike, and he just overall just didn't agree. And, you know, and the he just didn't really agree with that assessment. So he actually convinced Diane's family and the investigators in California who were searching for Diane to give some samples of DNA to be compared. So in 2003, Princess Doe's DNA was compared with the DNA sample from Diane's mother, Patricia.
So familial DNA.
So maternal DNA, which will conclusively say, yes, this DNA came from, you know, is the child of this person or not.
Mm-hmm.
And Patricia was 100% ruled out as the mother of Princess Doe.
Oh, there you go.
So not Diane Dye.
I don't know. Too bad for the family. I guess it would have been kind of nice in a way to, you know.
It would have, but also, you know, I guess I'm always one to think like that just brings hope that maybe Diane is still alive out there somewhere.
Maybe.
I don't
likely.
Know. She'd be, you know, in her 40s.
I'll change her name to Lori Erica Ruff.
Yeah.
And she's doing well.
Yeah, doing great. Yeah, really great. So not that, but that's one of the biggest theories you'll see. And actually, there are still people on the internet who say, oh, yeah, no, Princess Doe is Diane Dye.
But they've never read the research.
Apparently
the
not.
Comparison.
Yeah, apparently
well, it's
not.
Actually not completely impossible. I mean, if when Diane was born, if she was actually accidentally switched with another baby, then obviously...
It would be a startling set of coincidences.
It would be.
But it is technically feasible.
Yeah.
I can wrap my head around it, yes.
You can win the lottery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody put this on my script.
Wasn't me.
Looking
I don't
at you, Joe.
Huh?
Theorem 2.5.
Yeah.
That Princess Doe was actually Patricia Vaughn.
This is similar to Diane Dye, and, mm-hmm. and that people have put it out there because, well, it the one looks what looks good about it is she disappeared 2 months before Princess Doe turned up.
Mm-hmm. And she went missing from West Virginia?
Yeah.
So kind
yeah,
of.
I think she was originally like raised Connecticut, but mm-hmm. was actually in West Virginia.
So New England sort of. I mean, yeah. West Virginia is not,
area.
But, you know, yeah. closer than Oregon is.
Closer than California.
And she was,
or Arizona.
She was, do you remember how old she was, too?
No, I don't.
I don't remember
not
either.
Not terribly
she was,
old.
She was in the age bracket. I think she was 20, so she was on the upper end of the age bracket.
Yeah, I was, for some reason I'm thinking 19.
19 but, or 20, you know, still right, the upper right end there. Of the age bracket.
Yeah.
And she wasn't reported missing until 1995.
Which is... Yeah.
That's kind of interesting.
Always baffling.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And now there's actually a Facebook page.
For Patricia Vaughn.
For Patricia Vaughn.
Find Patricia Vaughn, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so they wait 13 years, and now they're really into it.
They're really, really
interested. They got a Facebook page.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess, fine, why not? You know, she was blonde and technically kind of in the age range, but...
Well, and if you look at photographs, there's a couple of photos of her out there. She looks the shape of her face and everything. Well, the thing about the great thing about Princess Doe is there's so many different sketches and reconstructions that, you know, you can find one that looks like just about anybody.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
That's true.
You match her up with a lot of people.
Yeah. But one of the big problems is her height. Patricia... Yeah. Was like 5'5", right?
Yeah, there is that.
Yeah. She also had in her name, I don't remember which one it is, Charlie Project posting maybe. She had a broken arm and she had her tonsils out and her wisdom teeth were impacted.
Mm-hmm.
And Princess Doe didn't have any of those things.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a good match. At all?
No, probably not.
Kind of a bummer.
I don't know why. I've seen this not just on the internet, but in news accounts, although,
yeah.
You know, of course, you know, news accounts, journalism, whatever. It's the same as the internet, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those are the only two named people that we really added.
Mm-hmm.
One theory is that Princess Doe is a runaway or a prostitute, was. The theory goes, predictably, that Princess ran away. Maybe she was Vaughn. Maybe she ran away. And then she was well-known in Ocean City, Maryland, either as being a runaway or as a prostitute, or perhaps both.
And this is another theory that I just
wonder
where the hell it came from.
Yeah, so the idea is that she was a well-known prostitute at a local truck stop, I guess. And there's a big problem with this, and that is that not a single person came forward and said they recognized her. On the other hand... I'll go ahead and say that if she was indeed underaged, I don't know a single person who would be like, oh, yeah, I know that prostitute.
She's
that 15-year-old girl that I've been sleeping with. No, you don't say that. I'm sorry. You just don't. I mean, even if you're a really good person and you really, you know, want to help.
Well, there's such a thing as, like, you know, writing a little note and dropping it in the mail.
That's my thought, though. There's such a thing as an anonymous phone call from a payphone.
There's that, too. And so that's why I think that probably she was not a prostitute.
Somehow I've been doing a lot of research about girls that are in this situation, you know, of falling into prostitution as a means to survive. And there's a whole bunch of different ways to cope. Some get on drugs and they become very well known because they're just trying so hard all the time because they're not only trying to support themselves, but a habit. There are others who are very standoffish. They're clean, but they go, they meet a John, they do what they got to do, and then they take off, and they're just moving around and they're not staying in the same place. And those girls, the second one I'm mentioning, those are the ones that it's easiest for them to disappear and nobody knows.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're not in one place long enough. Like this whole, she was at particular truck stop A, whatever. Like mm-hmm. that doesn't make sense. But these girls bounce around. You meet a guy, you make a couple of bucks off him, you talk him into giving you a ride to the next major truck stop, and then you hop out and he goes his way and you go your way. And these girls disappear, and there's a lot of friggin' scuzzballs in those truck stops, especially back in the A. That was that was a supermarket for killers.
Yeah,
and also she was found at that cemetery, which is actually on a highway. I mean, it's not a super highway or anything, but it's not a back road by any means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, you know, it's an obvious place to go pull off in the dead of night is to a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just go off to the edge there and do your killing, and then, you know, push the body into the ravine and off you go. Yeah.
We don't even know that she was killed there. Yeah, I mean, it's very possible that she was killed someplace else and then just dumped.
Yeah.
Entirely possible.
You know, the person, whoever it is, man or woman or beast, whatever the case may be, puts her there, lays her skirt over, and gives her a shove downhill and walks back out and takes off. And nobody's going to be the wiser.
Yeah. So, absolutely. You know, so I don't know. I think it is possible that maybe she was a runaway prostitute to support herself, but I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's likely that she was like a regular, that everybody knew her or anything like that.
Yeah, I will not agree with that she was a known worker at that area. Yeah. I think we're probably going to get in trouble because I think the proper term is sex worker.
Yeah,
we've caught a little flack, so sorry about that,
folks.
Sex
worker doesn't really cover it because sex worker can mean a lot of things.
Well, that's true.
You know, I don't know how many prostitutes actually get into drugs and that kind of thing. Apparently, Princess Doe did not have any drugs in her system.
She did not.
And so I'm sure there probably are prostitutes who don't do drugs. I don't know, I guess.
Yes, of course there are.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, okay. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a prerequisite.
Yeah, it's not? Okay.
No, not at all.
No. Yeah. There's a theory out there that she worked at a local camp.
Like a Friday the 13th kind of camp?
Exactly. Friday the 13th camp, actually. I'm pretty sure this one came from Fear, because in Fear, the character that was portrayed as Princess Doe was the fictionalized version of her. She was found on the grounds of Camp Spirit Lake, which is a fictionalized version of Nobibosco.
What a weird name.
I think it's probably Indian.
You think so?
I do.
Okay, because it the way it's written and the way I've seen it written, I always assumed somebody made it up.
Oh, yeah, no, I think...
Like, we're going to make a camp here for kids, and let's make a fun name. Let's call it Nobibosco.
Nobibosco.
Yeah, I wonder what that, you know, no B, so don't be whoever Bosco is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Bosco?
Yeah, no, be Bosco.
Don't be Bosco Coltrane?
Could be. I got a feeling there's a joke in there.
Yeah, I do. Probably. I really think there is.
I really do.
I'm sorry, this is very tangential, but we were in Vegas and we were at the Excalibur, and there's an Italian restaurant there called Papa De Bucco. And that's what this reminds me of.
Papa De Bucco.
Anyway,
I like it.
Camp No Be Bosco is actually a real camp in Hardwick Township in New Jersey, which is close to where Princess Doe was found.
But if she had been at that camp, don't you think that somebody would have said, hey, it's weird, this person in the camp is gone.
Yes. Well, actually, that camp, the reason that camp is notable is because it was actually the filming location for Friday the 13th. And even more crazy, Lieutenant Krantz, you remember Lieutenant Krantz?
Eric Krantz.
He was actually in Friday the 13th. That filmed at that camp.
Yeah, what
two years before they found Princess Doe's body.
I heard that. Now, what did he play, a corpse or a teenager?
I have no idea.
I think he was an extra, if I remember correctly. He was somewhere in the background. He wasn't.
He didn't have a speaking part. He was probably just one of the policemen that shows up at the end to cart away the bodies.
Yeah, you know, and he ogled Jamie Lee Curtis, and then he left.
Why would he do that? She wasn't in that movie. That was Halloween you're thinking of. It was like, who was that girl? She had big hair.
It was an 80s movie.
They're all so silly anymore, I get it mixed up.
Okay, forget that.
So, I just know it's not Freddy Krueger.
So I'm pretty sure that that is where that came from. I don't think that there's any credit. And also I agree that if a camp counselor or somebody who was attending a camp had disappeared, the people who were running the camp would have been pretty on it.
Yeah,
unless there's
like this whole thing where there's a camp and then, you know, the whole vacation's over and everybody leaves. You wouldn't think they'd be leaving as early as mid-July.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But I mean, camps do run in cycles, you know, 2-3-4 week cycles. But even if that were the case, as much coverage as this story
got, somebody would have recognized those clothes.
Somebody should have been keyed in to recognize something.
They totally would have. So that's all the theories for who this person, Princess Doe, might have been. Let's talk about who might have done this to Princess Doe.
Nancy Reagan!
I don't think so.
Hillary Clinton?
No.
No?
No. There's a theory out there, and I think this is... We're going to do, like, most to least credible, I guess.
You should do least to most.
Oh, you want to do least to most? We can do least to most. The least credible theory I've ever heard I literally titled this The Dumbest Theory, is that Princess Doe was killed by the Blairs, by a Blairstown police officer, which is why the case was never solved.
Mm-hmm.
That's so dumb.
Is it, though?
Yeah.
You know that if you're like that, you're the investigating officer. And this was one particular guy that wanders by every month or so and says, hey, you know any movement on Princess Doe? And they say, no. Oh, awesome. Great. I mean, that's really too bad.
I
was waiting for you to say, high five. I mean,
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
It's not the craziest thing because, listen, we have read about and had people talk to us about massive instances of police involvement and corruption for things like this. I mean, it's not unheard of.
But
on Law and Order,
there's no evidence to at all.
There's no evidence, and the deep dedication that Lieutenant Krantz has shown to this case. I mean, he's been investigating it actively, even in retirement.
Well, obviously, it wasn't him. It was some other lieutenant,
right? But he would have. I think he would have found something out if there was something to be found out.
All right, I'm done supporting this as fun. It's just not fun anymore. No, it's just really silly.
The next dumbest theory is Henry Lee Lucas. You guys know Henry Lee Lucas.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas is the serial killer who claims to have murdered more than 3,000 people.
Yeah!
So, of course, he is a suspect. I don't see any similarities with his actual confirmed murders and this murder.
That's the problem with that guy. You really can't take him at his word, unfortunately.
You cannot, no.
We just talked about this recently.
Yeah, can't do it.
Jerk.
The next most credible theory is Joel Rifkin. He's also an American serial killer.
Now, I've heard of Joel, but I can't remember. I know he's killed a bunch, but how many did he kill?
I don't remember.
Okay.
He's believed to have killed up to 17.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, pretty prolific.
That's a bunch.
Yeah, but it would have been really early. His first official murder was in 1989.
And he also had a thing for going for prostitutes in the New York area.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and his mode, he did a lot of weird cutting of pantyhose. Isn't he the one who did like the weird cutting situation with clothes?
He would take off like the first girl. He took off her fingertips and her teeth, and like he was doing some semi dismembering.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't just a guy who just dumped the body whole and just...
Well, and I mean, I can see the argument for escalation, you know, that he just accidentally beat this one girl and then didn't do anything.
When was Princess found? 82. And he
was in 89. First killing.
But I don't think it was him. I don't think that.
Yeah, I really...
No real reason to think so.
I really always am worried when we're like, oh, but it was escalation, because it just seems like too easy of a way to paint the guy into the box.
For sure.
The box around the guy.
Yeah, especially since we have a better suspect.
Oh,
we do.
Yeah.
So I think the most plausible suspect is Arthur and maybe Donna Kinlaw. In 1999, Donna Kinlaw was arrested in California for attempting to commit welfare fraud by using the name Elena, which was traced to a Long Island native who was actually involved in a prostitution ring that her husband, Arthur Kinlaw, was running.
Ooh.
Donna gave details about two other murders that she said Arthur had committed. Both were unidentified females, and both remain unidentified. And
this
I said
is aside
other,
from Princess.
This is aside from Princess. It's aside from Elena as well. Elena had been murdered.
Why did Donna because she'd been murdered, then she was on the hook for the murder, so that's why she
Donna?
Implicated her husband?
No, she was the hook for welfare
for fraud.
Yeah, and so she thought she would get in good with the cops by turning her husband in.
Yeah.
Because that's the way crooks work.
I don't know why. I don't know her motivations. I'm not a criminal psychologist.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she decided to just talk about this. Some people are just talkers.
Some people just flip on a dime.
She also, I think, was trying to paint herself as the just victim. She was being forced to do these things, and I think she felt she was trying to paint herself as she felt guilty. I don't know if she did or not, but
no, I seem to remember reading something about the fact that, you know, Don was, Arthur. Sorry.
Yeah.
That Arthur was, you know, he was controlling and abusive.
That's what Donna said when she was arrested.
And so, of course, it was not her. It was him the whole time, to answer Joe's question.
Yeah.
And
no.
she couldn't do anything about it, or she'd get the beating.
Well, she did. She did say at least once that he literally held like a gun to her head and said, you have to do this. I don't remember what that was. I don't think it was a murder thing. I think it was something else, but she said that he threatened her. And so after Arthur went to trial and faced the death penalty for the original three murders, Donna gave further, no, the original three murders.
Three? Well, three murders.
The two unidentified women and Elena.
Oh, and Elena. Yep. Okay. Okay.
Donna gave further information that Arthur had killed one other female, a young prostitute, in a graveyard in early 1982. There's really no corroborating evidence for this. It sounds like Donna's story may have changed a few times. There's police can't substantiate it. Donna said, in one instance, Donna said that Arthur had brought a young woman who was matched the description and wearing similar clothes home and then left and then came back without her. In another instance, Donna said actually she had gone to the graveyard with them, and then Arthur had said, she had watched him murder.
She witnessed the murder, yeah.
She had been a witness. And then Arthur said, if you tell anyone, I'll do this to you. So her story changed a couple times.
Shifted.
But I'm not, I guess I'm, don't know why she would say that he murdered her if he didn't.
I mean,
unless it was to try to solidify the death penalty so she never had to see
him
again.
Well, I think that what she was trying to do is shovel it on thick and deep, so that she looked like the innocent bystander, like we were just talking about.
Yeah.
And as you guys just kind of hinted at, so that there was no way he was going to get out of it, so that he couldn't come after her, whether he truly was doing the thing she said he was
or not.
Or if she just said, hey, Patsy, thanks a lot.
There's a lot of guys who are, pimps and run prostitution rings who aren't necessarily murderers, but who still are violent.
Oh, yeah.
The kind of people you really, I could see why she might want to get away from him and see him locked up for a long time. But as far as the whole problem with it is this case actually did get a fair amount of publicity. And so it's entirely possible that, her being from that kind of area, the geographic area, not far from New Jersey, heard all about it. Heard about the circumstances of this body being found in a graveyard in New Jersey.
Totally.
And so, yeah.
Yeah.
So even though Arthur may well have committed some murders.
I guess the other thing is that, finding out who did that to her doesn't really bring us any closer to finding out who she was.
Well, he might have some clues as to her identity if you find out who it is and wring the truth out of him.
You might, but if it was, but if it was Arthur, he said he just picked up a random prostitute.
I find it interesting though that whoever did kill Princess, really thought it was important to obliterate her face.
Yeah.
And
but just around the eyes, her mouth was totally.
I disagree. I don't know that this is necessarily a scenario where it was done in such a way to make her unidentifiable.
Oh,
because,
been.
Everybody at that point, everybody knows about fingerprints. So if you really want to take her off the map, you would do what's his name and start cutting off the hands and the fingertips.
Sure, but supposing you knew her and you knew that she'd never been arrested or fingerprinted.
That implies that you know her well enough to know that. I mean, this
and
could
maybe
be.
There's nothing saying the murderer didn't know her.
Yeah, but there's. I mean, it could very well have been just. I mean, we've talked about these cases before. Just a case of rage, and the guy literally just beats her and beats her and beats her.
Sure.
Past the point of death, he is just.
They call that overkill.
Yeah.
Nice pun.
I recognize what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that it's entirely possible that it was deliberately for to impede identification.
And I'm saying I don't think that it necessarily was. I mean, the level
if I were the police, I would be thinking about it. I'd be thinking about that particular thing. So she's not been arrested, and yet somebody would have known her by her face. So, I mean, it's not much, but
it's possible that if she was in the industry, she may not have been in the industry for a long period of time.
Yeah.
And
so
there
I'm
are
not
people
saying,
who
not saying
who
are, she wasn't a prostitute.
No, but I'm not either. But I'm saying if that's the scenario, she may have been in it a short enough time or good enough at avoiding being caught that she wasn't in the system, because there are people who go for years without getting picked up by the police.
She also might not have been a prostitute.
Yeah. She may have been some poor innocent bystander who got a ride from the wrong
dude. She could have been a hitchhiker.
From a psycho dude, yeah.
Yeah.
And it could have been like, you know, that would be one reason, like, say, if you picked her up at a truck stop or somewhere, and you're a little worried that somebody's going to recognize her in the papers, you know, and then maybe put two and two together. She saw her climbing into your brown Buick with you. Well, just wipe her face out, and, you know,
although
that helps.
They were really distinctive clothes, so I don't know why you would leave her clothes with her.
I didn't think her clothes were that remarkable.
Dudes don't think that way.
That's a good point, too.
Dudes do not think that way.
And clearly it didn't really matter that much, because nobody's come forward and said, yeah, I recognize those clothes.
Yeah. So,
all right, well, that's all I have. Do you guys have any additional theories?
Not really. All I would say for the clothes, too, is that, who knows? I mean, the skirt, she might not even have ever worn that skirt. I mean,
that's
somebody
true.
Could have bought it at the Goodwill and draped it over her body. I mean,
true
somebody
enough.
Could have pulled her pants and her panties off her and thrown them away somewhere else. And,
yeah.
I mean, it could be a total red herring.
True.
Yeah.
Red herring.
Oh, sorry.
Wow, this one's got more than I expected in terms of puns.
So, I am not super thrilled about the resolution to this case, but we cover unsolved mysteries. So
that's okay.
This is what we do.
Somebody will listen to this podcast. It will jar their memory, and there will be some resolution here.
Yeah. So we're going to put some links, as usual, on our website that you can find there, where you can also stream the episode if you want. I think you can download the episode from the website as well. If you're wondering if we've covered a case, there's a list of episodes there. You can also find links to our merch. The website is thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. We're on social media, of course. You can find us on Facebook. We've got a group and a page, so like the page and join the group. We've got a Twitter, which is Thinking Sideways. We also have a subreddit, which is just Thinking Sideways. And finally, if you want to get a hold of us, the very best way to do that is to send us an email. Despite the thousands of emails we get a day, we don't get 1,000 emails a day. We get a lot of
emails. It feels like it sometimes.
We respond to every single one of them eventually. It takes us a little while, but we read and respond to every single email that we get.
Yes, we do.
Including spam sometimes on accident. So there you go.
Mm. Quit starring that stuff.
Yeah,
it's not
so
me.
You can send us an email at thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. And I think that's all the business we have.
I think so.
Well, did you give out Joe's phone number?
Yeah.
Yeah, please. 555-1212.
Yep. Anyway, okay, I guess that's all I have for this week. So we're just going to depressingly get out of here.
I suppose so. Toodaloo, everybody. We'll see you in a week.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
When Devin's voice is better.
Yeah.